It's Beauty Inside Out on RadioMD.com. Here are David Pollack along with Lisa Davis.
I'm going to guess that we've all told some white lies before. Maybe you're busy and you wave your hand if someone's like, are you here? You don't want to talk on the phone and you're like, I'm not here. Or I don't know. David, any other examples of white lies or am I the only one?
No, you're the only one. Oh, wait, would that count?
That is a good one. So, but I'm bummed.
So we all tell white lies. But, you know, today we've got a guest that I think ties it right in because, well, first of all, I'm going to introduce our guest and bring her in real quick. We have Cynthia Sass. She's a 3-time New York Times bestselling author. I mean, that's amazing by itself. She's been on every TV show that I could write down a name, and she's a sought-after nutritionist. What is wrong with my voice today? Cynthia is a friend of the show. Welcome back.
Thanks. Welcome back. Great to be back, you guys. Thank you.
I got to tell you, we all want to be thinner. Okay, and I got to tell you, last week I got together with a bunch of my friends from high school. Now I'm 48, so I'm going to go with just 30 years, but most of them I've known a little bit over 30 years. And while most of them looked absolutely phenomenal for all these years that have gone by, I noticed I stood out. I've gained some weight and look a little bit older. And while I've lost some weight over the past year and keep trying, you tell us that there are some white lies that are stalling my progress. What are these white lies?
Yeah, you know, I find in my private practice, anyone who's ever worked with me as a client knows that I'm not the food cop or, you know, the one to scold or judge or berate my clients. I'm really the coach and the counselor and the cheerleader. And when you have that kind of open, honest dialogue about your relationship with food, you can really start to get really honest about how you're actually looking at your behavior as opposed to what you're really doing on a day-to-day basis. And some people are sort of looking at what they're doing, their habits, through rose-colored glasses and kind of making themselves feel like they're doing a little bit better than they are. And when they start to get really true and honest about it, and these little white lies that they're telling themselves are revealed, then they can finally actually change their habits and get healthier and start seeing the progress with their weight loss that they've been waiting for. So one of them that I hear a lot is a client will say something like, well, I eat when I'm hungry and I stop when I'm full. But when we start talking about that and I actually ask them, what does the hunger feel like? You know, if you could describe the hunger, how would you describe it? What symptoms or signs is your body giving you that tells you that it needs fuel or nourishment or energy? And when
I
they start
food.
To really think about it, yeah, you know, they just realize that it's more emotional or socially triggered than it is physically triggered. So they're kind of confusing what I would call mind-body with, you know, with mind hunger, with body hunger. So when you really start to realize that you're not really eating because you're physically hungry, but you're eating because you want some sort of comfort or you want an escape or a little reward, then you can really start to tune in on the difference between when your body is telling you it needs food and just when you need something else that's going to satisfy an emotional need or a social need. Maybe you just need to connect with someone. Maybe you're having some anxiety, or maybe you have some boredom that you need to take care of. But the toughest part about recognizing the difference between mind hunger and body hunger is acknowledging that what you really need in that moment has nothing to do with food. But when you do realize that, the weight can start falling off, because if you just had 200 extra calories a day that your body really didn't need, that you were continuously eating day after day, and you got rid of that by exchanging, you know, eating something for doing something else, you could lose 20 pounds in a year's time just by making that one change alone.
Now you hit on something major, because one of my white lies, I'll admit, in my dieting, my trainer will say, David, write down everything you eat today. And I do. I write down the most important ones, but I'm sure I skip a couple. You know, that cookie didn't count because I broke it in half and the calories fell out. And, you know, the creamer is supposed to be 2 tablespoons, 3 or 4. He'll never know. And so those are my white lies. And I got to say, I'm lying to myself. And so at the end of the day, when I add up and say I've got 12 or 1,400 calories, that number really is that extra couple hundred you just mentioned. So if I was honest with myself and honest with my trainer, I could lose 20 pounds in a year, you're saying, just by being honest with myself and learning to track just those extra couple hundred calories.
Absolutely. And it's not about policing yourself then. It's not about trying to shame yourself. It's really about just getting really honest with yourself and looking at, why did I have that extra cookie or that extra spoonful of peanut butter or whatever it was? And if you realize that you see a pattern and that you do tend to eat out of anxiety or boredom or whatever it happens to be, then you can say, okay, what do I really need that's not food related, that's really emotionally related? And you can start to test out various alternatives to eating and then really overcome that issue.
For me, seriously, at the office, they'll bring donuts and plates of cookies. So if there's a plate of cookies, every time I walk by, I feel obligated to have one. And I'm all kidding aside. And so I've had to learn to walk a different route through the office or to not go, you know, and try and restrict it or eat something healthy before I walk by that plate so I'm not tempted. And it goes back to the white lies of me lying on my own menu or list of what I ate today. So, I mean, yeah. I think that's a white lie, that, and like you said, knowing the difference between body and mind hunger. Give us another one.
Another one I hear a lot is, I'm not a big drinker. And I hear this from men and women who actually technically qualify as binge drinkers, according to the definition, which is having four or more drinks in a two-hour period for women or five or more for men. And so I hear this, you know, I'm not a big drinker, but what actually happens is that people are comparing themselves to their previous drinking habits. Maybe they've cut back, so they feel like they're not a big drinker anymore because they were drinking a lot more than that before. Or maybe they don't drink during the week, but they binge drink on the weekends. And so I've had clients, when they really start to get, you know, real about their actual drinking habits, they'll say things like, you know, I don't drink during the week, but I know it's probably not good that I drink an entire bottle of wine by myself during one sitting, you know, on a Friday night or a Saturday night. And when they start to get really honest about that, they really realize that their drinking can become sort of a domino effect where they drink on Saturday night, then maybe Sunday morning they go out to brunch because they kind of carry over that feeling of like, well, it's vacation or I'm letting loose. And then Monday comes around, they don't want to go to the gym because they've kind of been, you know, not taking care of themselves for the weekends. They don't really want to get into their gym clothes. And then because they skip the gym, maybe they're more apt to eat that donut at the office, you know, on
Monday. Forget the NSA. Yeah. It sounds like you're following me.
It can really kind of have that dominant effect or that spiral.
It does, and I've watched people say, I just have one drink, but what I've learned is it's not just the one drink, like you mentioned, wine, but it's not just do you have a vodka and tonic, it's those that have the heavy sugary drinks. Maybe it's a big pina colada or something, and they supersize it at bars now. And so all the calories that are in what they're drinking has a huge effect as well.
That is true. In fact, a shot of liquor, which is, you know, 1.5 ounces, is about 100 calories, regardless of whether it's vodka or rum or gin or whatever. But then when you put that sugary mixer, it can easily add 350 to 500 calories, depending on the size
of
the
sugar.
Yeah.
Are you
so
kidding?
It's like having a big handful of, you know, gummy bears or something like that with your shot of alcohol. So, but people don't think about that. And then, of course, once you get that relaxed feeling and your inhibitions are lowered, then you're more apt to eat that chips and salsa that's in front of you or order that dessert or eat things that you wouldn't eat if you weren't, you know, a little bit tipsy. So it, you know, when you really get honest about your actual alcohol intake, you know, whether you're using it as an emotional crutch yourself, you know, maybe you're turning to alcohol because you want to escape or you want to kind of numb yourself out, or if it's really integral to your social scene. Like, I have a lot of clients who will say, all of my friends are big drinkers, and so when I'm with them, I tend to drink more than I would if I was with, you know, other people who don't drink as much. If you really start to see that pattern, then you can take some action, whether it's asking friends who you typically go drinking with to do other things that are fun activities where you wouldn't have the opportunity to drink. You know, instead of going to a bar, you know, yeah.
We're just about out of time, so just quickly tell us the last two, because I know.
Well, we're down to 30 seconds. I'll tell you what, we're going to let everybody go to your website, Cynthia Sass, SASS.com, and she's written a book, Sass Yourself Slim. Thank you for being with us, Cynthia. This is your personal beauty expert, David Pollack, with my co-host, Lisa Davis. You're listening to Beauty Inside Out on Radio MD. Stay tuned and stay beautiful.